back in the late 70s, my youngest son, Craig, he was never a person that liked pop, soda, Coke, Pepsi, crushed orange, whatever. He always wanted water. Water. I remember we were outside of a little grocery store in Rushville, Indiana. And there was a pop machine standing there. And I'm not sure how old he was, but he was very young. And he said to me, "Why don't we invent water in a can?" He was nine, my wife says. Being an adult, grown up, and full of wisdom as I was, I said to him, Dave, I said to him, "Son, no one is going to pay you for water because it's free." Biggest mistake in my life. Never happened, Craig. Never going to happen. It's ridiculous. No one's going to put water in a can and people are going to buy it. Ridiculous. Today, you and I can't exist without water. Now, I'm not saying that you're cheap. No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that. Don't even go there. But most of you, when you go to the restaurant, you order water. It's because you love water. It's clear, it's refreshing, and cheap. Doesn't cost you anything. I really haven't looked at my tab to see if they actually charge me for water or not. The Holy Ghost is free. Amen. Spirit of God is free. Water is free. I love it. Amen? Let me share with you scriptures this morning. And you can turn in your Bible if you want to 2 Samuel chapter 23, Old Testament, verses 15 through 17. 2 Samuel 23, verse 15 through 17. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." I'm not going to drink this. You sacrificed. You risked your life. And I'm just going to pour this out as an offering to the Lord. Amen. So what evidently happened here in the break of a battle that was going on, that King David and three of his soldiers had retired to a cave nearby and they was resting. And it happens, as often does with you and me, we sort of daydream in a time of break or rest. As they were resting and was remaining sort of alert, yet was listening to the desire of their leader. Nostalgic spirit came over David. You know what I'm talking about. You get a little nostalgic when you see a picture or see something remind you of your youth or past days, and you start thinking about it. I believe David became homesick for Bethlehem, his boyhood home, and he remembered roaming its hills and marketplace as it walked down the narrow streets. It held a lot of times of memories for his family, for his grandparents. Boaz and Ruth in the Old Testament was his grandparents, and they had settled in Bethlehem decades earlier. And like many of the other members of his family, David worked as a shepherd until God called him from the sheepfold to lead the nation of Israel. The memories of those early years would linger forever in his heart, regardless of where he found himself in life. I remember just the other day, one of my sons was talking about a child of his who feels it's time perhaps to flex their life and to be on their own. And I remember as he said to me, it's so hard. You used to have them around in your house, have them around you all these years that they've grown up. And so he got a little bit nostalgic and was thinking about the things that he was packing up in a box that was theirs, that child, when he was younger. And I can imagine seeing him in his mind as he was putting things in a box and remembering when it was bought, perhaps, and how the child loved it and kept it. He said, perhaps, would you like to keep this? Child said, I'd like to keep it, but I'm not taking it with me, and you can just put it in the box and keep it. I said to my wife, I met her, said to him, we know, we experienced that. We're parents. I remember sitting in a little German farmhouse in the early 80s. That old German house set on top of the barn. It's where they built them in that little village in most of Germany. The house was a little bit over 100 years old. It was time we sent Craig home from Germany back to the States so he could finish the last 2 years or so of high school. I drove him to Frankfurt to the airport, made sure he got on the plane. I drove back to a little village called Karlbach, just a few clicks from Landstuhl. It was about supper time, and I walked into the house, and my wife said, let me fix you some soup. She fixed some tomato soup. She set the bowl on the table in the kitchen, and I sat down at the table, and I was eating my soup. You probably heard me tell the story before. Let me share it with you again. Tick, tick, tick. That clock went on the wall. It got sort of nostalgic. Wasn't no sound in the house anymore. Wasn't no laughing and playing and Dad getting on him. Tick, tick. I never heard that clock before. David laying there perhaps in the cave. You know what I'm saying is you have a moment of remembering, a flashback to something in your life. And David said, I just would like to have a drink from that well that I drank from so many times before. And his men that were following him. All David did was to wish. Just to wish. A wish from a homesick man. There was no commandment in his words, real or implied. He just said what he was thinking. I just wish I had a drink from that well one more time. Between his cave and his desire, fountain of water was a garrison of Philistines. There's always an enemy between you and the blessing. Always something to fraught your progress of your desire, of your nostalgicness. Warriors who occupied David's favorite village, David's favorite well. There was no hope of drinking from Bethlehem's well until those enemy soldiers were chased away. And you might be here this morning or sometime in your life, you'd like to have one more touch of God in your life, and you've been away from it for a little while, but you desire to have one more drink of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that God had poured out upon your life until you were so saturated. But now you're a little dry, a little out of touch. But there's an enemy standing between you and the blessing of the Lord. Three violent men, strong in courage, heard the whisper of their leader and received it as their command. There are times I've seen people who struggle with God or struggle to get back with God. They didn't ask me for help. They didn't ask me to pray for them. I just knew, I felt it in my spirit that they needed something from God, and they've been struggling with it. Like these three warriors, they just knew and felt the whisper of David, if I just had a drink from the well of Bethlehem. That's all they needed, was just to sense the desire of that drink. That they got up out of the cave and faced the enemy. Breaking through the Philistines' encampment, perhaps by quietness, they reached the gate and drew a container of water from the well. For David, can I tell you this morning as a church how important it is for you and I to break through to the well? The springing up of an ever-lifting life because somebody else is thirsty. I said somebody else wants to break through. Somebody else desires to have a touch of the Holy Ghost. And for us, you and me perhaps, are the only ones that can break through or slip through the enemy lines to be able to grab a flask of water to bring it back to that thirsty soul. One can only imagine the emotion that flooded the king. He was honored by their devotion. He was humbled by this act of bravery that these men showed. Yet he could not drink this water. Instead, he offered it as a sacrifice to God because it was acquired at the potential cost of men's lives. I will tell you this morning, church, it's going to cost you something to come alive and be interceders in prayer. It will cost you hours of wakefulness. It will cause you to get up in the morning or stay up late at night to pray. The mundane became holy. Life is in the blood. These men literally risked sacrificing their lives for David's thirst. And I wonder here this morning how many of us is willing to sacrifice ourselves for someone else's thirst. You may be sitting next to that person this morning that needs a breakthrough, that needs a drink from the well of Bethlehem. At another point in David's life, he experienced a much deeper thirst than for this water of Bethlehem's well. He penned the words found in Psalm 63 and verse number 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. There may be someone who feels like you're in a dry place and you don't feel God anymore. You don't know how to reach Him. This is where David was, in a dry, thirsty land. On another occasion, he wrote, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Psalms 42 and verse 1. This was not a physical thirst, but a spiritual one. It was a craving. For deep within inside of his inner being, my soul is so thirsty, it has dehydrated my flesh. It was to this need the Messiah, the seed of David, addressed himself. He was more than a good teacher who laid out sound principles for life and living. Jesus saw beyond the physical hunger, poverty, and the sickness of human flesh. He heard a much deeper cry from within the hearts of the people he encountered. Something, sensing their soul's cry, he ministered to them at the point of the need. Jesus will always minister you at the point of your need. This is why I say you can buy all the books that's ever written about discipleship. You can read all the books that people tell you to how to be a good leader. But I want to tell you this morning, there's nothing that can replace a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all the truth. The truth to fight for another brother or sister. The truth to help somebody find the refreshing anointing of the Spirit of God in a dry and a weary land. This is why when I come to the church, may not feel good in my body, may not feel good in a lot of areas, but I'm telling you this, I can create an atmosphere where I stand in the 2x2 square of my location. I can lift my hands and worship God, and perhaps He will visit me and flow. My cup will overflow and splash out and flow in other directions as well. Why do I come to worship God? It's because somebody might need a breakthrough to the well of Bethlehem. Oh, let's lift our hands and love the Lord, the Holy Ghost, right now. The enemy will try to shut you down. The enemy will try to fight you every way he can. Try to tell you you're no good, you're a sinner, you failed Him. But if I could just get one breakthrough to the well, if I could just get into His presence, come on somebody, worship somebody, help me. Oh, if I could just get a touch of God, what did you say? If I could just get a drink from the well of Bethlehem, did you hear what he said? If he could just get a drink. Oh, come on. I think I got one more worship left in me. I've got one more praise left in me. Do you feel him yet? Do you feel the flow of the Spirit yet? Well, let's lift your hands and let him begin. Come on. There's something about the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. Jesus, he heard a much deeper cry within the hearts of people he encountered. Sensing their soul's cry, he ministered to them at their point of need. He heard their call for real meaning, a purpose for living, spiritual direction. The people of his day and the centuries to come were like those lost sheep wandering aimlessly around. It was not just the sick and the poor who cried for help. You may not be sick in body. You may not be in that place of your flesh hurting. Obviously, there were oppressed. There was people that were in need of help. A high place. A religious leader, his name was Nicodemus, who was a member of a ruling body, came to Jesus by night, exposing his thirsty heart. I don't care who you are this morning, there's something inside of you because you were born with the Spirit of God. You may be a horrible, terrible person in the world, but inside of you is that little spark that needs to be flamed, that needs to be watered, that little growth of hope and power of God. That man, every man has a measure of faith. It was to this man Jesus spoke those famous words, "You must be born again, Nicodemus." Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:7-16. But in chapter 4, that was in chapter 3, but in chapter 4, John recorded our Lord's journey through Samaria and his encounter with a woman at a well. This woman had been married 5 times. The man she was living with was not her husband. A multiplicity of lovers and marriages had not filled the deep cravings of her heart for acceptance and meaning in her own life. And to this much used woman, Jesus said, let me tell you what, the devil will use you. I said, the devil will use you. He will abuse you. He will trick you. He will lie to you. Until you don't want to hang out with anybody or be around any Christians or your brothers and your sisters. And so she went to the well at noonday. Jesus said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." John 4:16-14. And the woman brought a bucket to the well. Jesus promised an inner well of the Spirit of God. God will promise you and give you an inner well of the power of the Holy Ghost spring up inside of your spirit. So this woman left her bucket at the well and took the well home with her. Put your bucket down. Get the well. Oh, I just want a little bit of Jesus this Sunday morning. No. Put the bucket down and become the well springing up inside of your soul and inside of your spirit. Wow. John 7:37, we find Jesus among the pilgrims gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. This was an agricultural celebration, climax on the last day with the priest pouring water at the foot of the brazen altar. And the people were chanting, "Hosanna! Save us now." In the midst of the high fervor of crying out, "Hosanna, save us now," Jesus cries out. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 7, 37, 38. Listen. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. But sometimes in your life, you can't even find a stream. He's talking about rivers. Flowing out. Woo. This message could be to one man on the right, another woman on the left. It could be multitudes by the lake crowded with people to hear the words of Jesus. I'm going to tell you like he said that day. And this is a proclamation. The same message. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Church. This carpenter's son, born in the city of David, promised to become a well of life to thirsty people. The prophet Isaiah had predicted many years earlier. He said, therefore, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Isaiah 12 and 3. The Lord Jesus promised an open, thirst-quenching reservoir of his presence. He would go to Calvary and fight through the enemy. Devil saying, you're not going there. I'm going to the well. I'm going to draw some water out for the thirsty. And he prayed and he prayed, as it were, great drops of blood as sweat dropped from his brow. I'll fight you. I'll fight you, flesh. I'll fight you. I'll fight you. I'll fight you. And he fought his way. And he won the victory. And he drawed from the well that all men might have their soul quenched with the Holy Ghost. Let's lift your hands again, shall we? Let's come on. Let's, throughout this congregation, there's a worshiper. There's a power of God. Oh, shalom. What happened in the upper room in Jerusalem was a fulfillment of what Jesus promised the woman at the well and those at the Feast of Tabernacles. This was the well of living water springing up unto everlasting life. For in Isaiah 28, 11 and 12, for with stammering lips and other tongues will he speak to his people, and this is the rest wherein ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Oh, yeah. Are you disturbed in your spirit? Are you disturbed in your soul? Do you feel empty? Do you feel dry? Why are you fighting it? Why don't you find the rest wherein he's called the weary to rest? A mighty artesian well of spiritual power was poured out upon the thirsty disciples. Peter did not want the onlookers to think only those few could drink from this well. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter made a special point of saying, for the promise is unto you and to your children and as many and as many and as many as the Lord our God shall call. There's a calling going on. Can you, anyone here this morning, identify with David's thirst? What is between you and the well? What is between you and the Holy Ghost? Jesus has broken every barrier and opened the way for you and me to come and drink of the water of life freely. Church, this is a Holy Ghost-filled church. It's to be a Holy Ghost-filled church. On the battlefield, you get thirsty. An old song says, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. No matter what enemy troops may position themselves around your promise. I like this one promise. It says, if you seek me, I will be found of you. And the enemy will try to destroy your faith and your hope. Will try to tell you when you've asked for forgiveness that God didn't hear you. And then he gave another promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Stumble as you may, fall to the ground as you may. Gravel in the dirt of a broken life. That when you reach out, as Peter reached out on the sea and was sinking beneath the waves, Jesus reached out and took his hand and pulled him up. Oh, Shalom. There's a well. Dear child of God, hear this old preacher this morning. There he is. A well. And it flows with living water. And it flows. I would say to us all, let us now gather together in spirit and walk boldly into the upper room to be baptized in this pure living water. Walk with me past some of the old things. Let your thirst this morning be quenched, your mind refreshed, and your hope restored. Yeah. Why only settle for a cup? May we all rejoice to know, as the psalmist proclaimed in Psalms 29, verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord upon many waters. Wow. I just like to have a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. I would like to be just feel the renewing of the Spirit of God. And I hear the request. And so I lift my hands and my heart and I worship. And perhaps the flow of the Spirit will flow. Why do those Pentecostals worship, shout, dance? Well, sometimes the water gets ankle deep. And sometimes it gets knee deep. And sometimes it gets hip deep. And sometimes you can't help it, but you swim in it. I don't know if there's such a thing as a backswing in the Holy Ghost or not, but I've swam with the back. Wow. If I ever come to church and you see me whisper for a drink, would somebody help me get a drink of the Spirit of God? I feel it flowing here this morning. Don't you feel it flowing here this morning? Oh, my. Let's stand together, shall we? Would you lift your hearts, lift your hands? Let's worship Him. Let's enjoy, let's bask in this presence this morning. If I could just get a drink from the well of Bethlehem. Don't get so nostalgic as if you could never have another drink. If I could just feel the presence of God. We're helping you. We're doing our best to break through the enemy to get you a drink, to get you into the presence of the Lord, to get the anointing of God to flow until you could swim in it. Until you could swim in it. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. Living water, living water, living water, living water. Hallelujah. They're going to be singing. Altar is open. Come on. You want a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost, fresh infilling of the Spirit of God? Feel a little dry? Feel a little something you need to break through? Maybe you want to break through for somebody else to get a drink this morning. Maybe you want to come and say, I want to stand in someone else's stead and hope that they'll get a breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, the power of the Holy Ghost.